So I know this is quite tricky sometimes to go straight into a preach or the word when you haven't been in worship, because worship allows us to get into the presence of God and we spend time there and we just be loving Jesus, and then we come out of that space and then we sit under the word. And I know it can be a little bit challenging to go straight into the word, but I'm not going to preach for long because I want to set up what we're going to do in worship, but I want to preach quickly into what it's going to look like hopefully for us as we worship, because I want to follow on from where we've been in the last 2 weeks. So we had Martin and his team come 2 weeks ago, and then we had testimonies last week of what happened when Martin was here. And then tonight, I want to encourage us as a congregation that actually we too can be involved. And it's not just about waiting for someone to come and pray for us. It's actually we can pray for one another and we can bring things to the meeting. In fact, the passage I'm going to share from actually encourages us to do that. And so it might look a little bit different. If you haven't been in Josh Gen before, it's not generally how we do things, but I want to be faithful to what I believe the Lord is asking me to do. And so I'm going to just share with us, hopefully what I share will edify you and provoke you, actually, to what is going to come. And so let's read our passage very quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 33. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn. Now, for the extroverts, when you see each one, you're like, yes, that's incredible. For the introverts, you're like, no, that must mean something else. Let's go into the Greek. Got to be nuanced. Each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or three at most, two at most three, each in turn, let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh up what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And so while reading this passage, I sat down on Tuesday to write a sermon based on this passage. And I had my 3 points. I was going to speak about what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ, because he starts off with the passage of brothers. And I was going to go like, what does it mean that we each bring something to share? And I was going to talk about what is chaos and what is disorder in a meeting. And as I was doing that, I felt the Lord go, that's not what I want you to share. I want you to share a story. And so while I was preparing this sermon, which was kind of very exegetical in nature and going like, how do I do this well? The Lord reminded me of a story, a South African story actually, of something that happened in a place called Worcester. Who's been to Worcester?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Okay. You're from Worcester. Okay. All right. I mean, Worcester. Yeah, Worcester. Worcester. And I wanted to share this story because I think it so amazingly captures what the scripture is talking about. It so illustrates actually perfectly what this passage of scripture is talking about and what this could look like in the context of a church meeting. Okay. And so many of you would have heard of a man called Andrew Murray, Reverend Andrew Murray. He was a well-known South African minister and author, and he's written lots of books. But he was overseeing a church in Worcester when a revival happened in that church. And the revival happened in very similar to what is described in the book of 1 Corinthians, or a result of what's described there. So let me read this to you, and I want to talk about a few points. And then I want to go into time of worship, because I want us to come to church expecting and with anticipation that God would do something. That each of us would either bring something to the meeting beforehand or in the meeting be so desperate for God to use us in any way that he sees fit. And let me read our passage. And so this is in 1860, so it is a little bit older, and so the language is a little bit different. But this is a first-hand eyewitness account of what happened in that meeting. The meeting moved along as expected. Well, most meetings, right? Until an unashamed 15-year-old black girl stood up to pray. Mr. Murray's associate, J.C. de Fris, was overseeing the prayer meeting and gives us an eyewitness account of those extraordinary events. On a certain Sunday evening, there were gathered in a little hall some 60 young people, probably a similar number to the people here tonight, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. I was the leader of the meeting, which began with a hymn and a lesson from God's word, after which I prayed. Three or four others gave out a verse of a hymn and prayed, as was the custom. And so we see 1 Corinthians 14 encourages people to bring a hymn or a song or revelation or prophecy to a meeting. And so we see this happening in this meeting. We see people after the word coming forth and going, I've got a hymn I want to share. I want to sing in the congregation. And so they do, which is awesome. Then a girl of about 15 years of age, in service with a nearby farm, so she's a farm laborer, rose at the back of the hall and asked if she too might propose a hymn. At first I hesitated, not knowing what the meeting would think, but better thoughts prevailed, and I replied yes, and she gave out her hymn verse and prayed in moving tones. While she was praying, we heard, as it were, a sound in the distance, which came nearer and nearer until the hall seemed to be shaken. With one or two exceptions, the whole meeting began to pray, the majority in audible voices, but some in whispers. Nevertheless, the noise made by the concourse was deafening. A feeling which I cannot describe took possession of me. While this meeting was going on, Andrew Murray was preaching in another section of the church. He was not present during the beginning of these events. When his own service was over, an elder passed the door of the prayer meeting. Hearing the noise, he peeked in and he ran back to get Mr. Murray. J.C. DeFries vividly recalls Murray's surprised reaction to the young people's meeting. Mr. Murray came forward to the table where I knelt praying, touched me, and made me understand that he wanted me to rise. He then asked me what had happened, and I related to him everything. Then he walked down the room for some distance and called out loudly as he could, "People, silence." But the praying continued. In the meantime, I kneeled down again. It seemed to me that if the Lord was coming to bless us, I should not be upon my feet, but on my knees. Mr. Murray then called again, "People, I am your minister sent by God. Silence." But there was no stopping the noise. No one heard him, but all continued to pray, calling out to God for mercy and pardon. Mr. Murray then returned to me and told me to start the hymn verse. He's trying again, commencing, "Aid the soul with helpless cries." I did so, but the emotions were not quieted and the meeting went right on praying. Mr. Murray then prepared to depart, saying, "God is a God of order, and here is everything but confusion." And with this, he left the hall. Now, I don't want to paint Andrew Murray in a bad light, because he did come around to what the Lord was doing in that revival, and he led it well, and actually went on to lead many churches which were part of the Keswick revival. But it's a rousing picture of a revival based around prayer and repentance. And this revival swept through this area at this time. And I think it perfectly captures what we read in 1 Corinthians 14. The service was orderly. Each one is given a chance to share as they feel the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit has placed on their hearts. And the response in this case is a Pentecostal type experience. And so I have two questions which you might be asking. Was this orderly? It feels a little bit crazy. But if we read our passage of Scripture, we see that this is orderly, and actually Mr. Murray was wrong, and the man leading the meeting was right. You see, there's a difference between divine order and dead order. And so often as people, we can get so caught up in what we think is right and what it should look like that we forget that God is God, and if he decides that something will happen, it will happen. And in this case, it's an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this group of people. And it spread from there. And then the next Monday, there were prayer meetings. It just kept on going and going and going and going. And the next question is, if we do this, will the same results follow? If we do this tonight, will there be a revival like there was revival then? Well, I would say the Lord is sovereign and he will decide. But I would say this, we should be coming to every meeting with a sense of expectation of what might happen. And I say every meeting as in every meeting. Every Sunday, do we come to church with a sense of what is God going to do and how is he going to use me this Sunday evening or this Sunday morning? Is he going to work? He might or he might not. That word expectation means a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case. The next thing we do is when, and I alluded to it before, when we read this passage, and I'm sharing these things because this is what you will feel tonight, hopefully. We are tempted when we read this passage to discount or disqualify ourselves. Each one must mean everyone else. Each one bring a hymn. Yes, Marco will bring a hymn. And then we'll listen to it, or a revelation, or a prophecy, or an interpretation, or a tongue. But not me, certainly not me. It can't mean me. What will people think? What will they do if I say something that is a little bit strange or a little bit different? What do I have to offer? What if I bring something to the elders and they don't release it? I'll feel foolish. These are common thoughts that I'm sure you've had all of the time, most of us have had at some point. Now I would say there's three words: fear of man. That's what it is. And I think we should pray for that tonight. Because I think fear of man so often stops us from walking and moving in what God has for us personally and for the congregation. And so this example of this young lady works so well because she is a farmhand. She is standing at the back. She might have been looked down upon. She, in some sense, if you read the passage, there's an implication that she's at the back because she's viewed as a second-class citizen, someone who maybe can't contribute anything of value. And I wonder how many of us have felt like that in a meeting, going, what could I possibly bring? What can I share? Never mind your social status. Like, how do you view yourself in the church? Am I allowed to go to the front and share something with the elders? Or is that just the privilege of a certain few? The same few who come every week. Which is amazing. Because those people haven't got a fear of man. They'll share, but you're going, what's this? It's the same. It's the chosen five. This lady, in some sense, this young girl, had everything going against her, and yet she did not shrink back. She did not shrink back. She did not allow her circumstances to dictate what the Spirit was doing in her life, and so she comes forward to share a hymn, as our passage says we should. And it reminds me of the story of the poor widow, where she comes with her two mites. In stark contrast to those who come and give out of their abundance. And I think sometimes we look at people who are coming forward every week and it's good that they're giving out of their abundance. And you go, what do I bring? Just my two mites. Well, maybe your two mites might just be the thing that shifts the meeting. The people that shared before her weren't wrong. And maybe what they bought was also from the Holy Spirit, but God chose to use what she bought. God chose to use her as the vessel through which the Holy Spirit would come and move in that area. First Corinthians 1:26, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of noble birth. Or Acts 4:13. I love this passage. I love it. This is the passage I most identify with in the whole Bible. Okay, along with lots of others. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Uneducated and common. Praise the Lord. Each one of us, each one here has something to contribute. Some out of the abundance of your heart, But others have too much to share. And I would encourage you as we go into a time of worship just now, if you feel the Holy Spirit putting something on your heart, don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Your contribution might usher in something that the Lord wants to do in this meeting. You might not usher in the revival, but you might. Your prophetic word could alter someone's life. How often do we think like that? We just go, well, I've got a word, maybe I'll share it, maybe I won't. What if the word that you've got, that God's given you, could actually change someone's life and trajectory? I've had prophetic words in meetings which were so profoundly impactful on my life that they changed the way I saw everything. What if that person at that point, and let me be honest, often those words were not from the prophet at the front. They were from a friend or a person or someone I hardly knew going, hey, I've got a word from God and I feel it's for you. What if a word of knowledge that you receive tonight could bring healing or breakthrough in someone's life? Do we allow fear of man to stop us from doing that? Or do we go, Lord, I'm not going to be fearful of man. I'm going to fear you. And because I fear you, I'm going to come and bring this word. And I'm anticipating that there'll be lots of words. Julian and I are going to have our work cut out for us. But that's great. Because the scripture says each one, not just the prophets, apostles, you know, the certain people are allowed to, each one in the congregation. Hopefully this is building up some kind of anticipation and excitement for what the Lord might want to do. And so she gets up and she sings a hymn, and as she's singing it, this sound gets closer and closer, this kind of it just says a sound in the distance. And we have to think of Acts 4 when we read this, and it says this, and when they prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken. And so we've heard that at Pentecost as well, that something happened when the Holy Spirit moved on that place. I'm just wrapping up. Because I don't want to spend too long preaching tonight, but I want the Lord to do something in our midst. And the reason I preach this is because I feel like, for all of us here, I feel like maybe for some of us we hold back in meetings, and I don't think we should. I think maybe many of us have got things that the Lord has said to us in meetings. You go, well, I don't know if it's the right time or place. And maybe we let that kind of, you know, that usual southern suburbs kind of etiquette get in the way of, or the diplomacy of like, well, it was a good meeting. We'll just let it go. You know, it's been great. It's been great. Maybe my word's not going to do that much, but you don't know. You don't know. And so, as we go into a time of, why don't you come up, Brett? Actually, let's just go into a time of worship. Yeah, I do want to spend a good time in worship. My encouragement is that we as a congregation this evening, that is each and every one of us, should expect, have anticipation that the Lord might want to use us. And I would say this, that if you do feel the Holy Spirit stirring something up inside of you, that if you do feel the Holy Spirit revealing something to you or giving you a revelation or a prophetic word, I would ask you not to shrink back, not to shy away, but to come forward and be, you know what, even if it's not released over the congregation, be obedient. Be obedient to what the Lord is asking you to do.